Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Saint Sunday, everybody. It is week one of the NFL season. We are starting out our Saints football coverage, 8 a.m. here in the Caesars Superdome. Want to thank everyone for helping us set up this great location here inside the dome. Ashley O and Luke Augusta getting us ready for Saints versus Panthers week one, Jeff. And it's good to be talking about regular season football now. Obviously, we got psyched for training camp. Then we got all pumped for preseason play. And now the real deal, Holyfield, is around as we take on an NFC South rival, too, to begin the year.
Yes. Yes. And I had a kind of an art imitates life moment this morning. Because I need – so I had to jumpstart my car on my way to the
– All right. Okay.
I had to put a little extra juice into it to get it to turn over. I need the Saints to come out hot. They cannot – there's no jump start that can be happening today. You need to get out there and you need to give the crowd something to cheer about early in this game. You got to do it. There's no slow starts. Those are over. You got to go out there and play.
I know they used to have the Juice Boys, and now it's what, the Coffee Crew or something?
The Coffee Cleanse? No, that's not right.
But the defense was talking about being, you know, coffee, you know, something, but even though no one else drank coffee on the defense.
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing. The linebackers' kind of mantra is they want to be the coffee of the defense.
There you
go. To this point, the only guy I can find out that drinks coffee is DeMario Davis, and it's because he's the old guy. All these young guys. I think Jalen Ford's exact words were, "I'm not old enough to drink coffee." And I'm like, excuse me, sir.
What are you talking about, right?
I was drinking coffee early in college. I don't know what you're talking about. But – you know, these are healthier people than I am. So I need the coffee. They don't. But, no, that's kind of their idea. And the funny thing is, so Billy Gay, actually, I found this out after he got here. His nickname, his long-standing nickname is the Juice Man.
Yeah.
And I got an interview with him. We'll play it during the pregame show. But, yeah, so he's that guy anyway. Like, I think that's funny that, you know, Quan always used to be that guy. Quan Alexander was kind of the juice guy. And they called him the Juice Boys. Now they brought in the Juice Man. And they're trying to be coffee. I don't know. It's a weird – these metaphors are getting
– whatever it helps, you know, ignite that team early on.
Yeah.
We've heard that a lot of folks and the players, coaches talk about that fast start, and that's just not a fast start to the season schedule. It's also a fast start in games because there were too many times last year we saw them come out for, you know, opening kickoff, and it just didn't seem to have that – quote unquote juice to start the games. And then boom, you come out halftime, you're trying to play catch up, and you know, and more often times than not, they weren't able to do that and came up short. Sometimes, especially during the end of the year, things started clicking a little more. We just need that juice to be there when they come right out the tunnel.
Yeah, and I mean, and that was true on both sides of the ball. Like, everyone wants to criticize the offense from last year, and for good reason. There's a reason you moved on for Pete Carmichael. There's a reason you brought in Clint Kubiak, changed the scheme, changed all these assistant coaches. Things weren't going the way you wanted, but there was also issues on the defensive side of the ball. We talked all last year about slow starts on defense, right? You look at all these games, I think Houston's a good example. Indy's a good example. Jacksonville's a good example. Like, you got it figured out, but you got it figured out too late in the game where you had to make a comeback, and obviously the offense didn't do any favors in the first half. I remember at one point I was talking to Tyrann Mathieu. I think it was after the Vikings game, and I was like, what do you got? I mean, do you need to start yelling at each other pregame instead of at halftime?
That, right.
And he was like, yeah, maybe we do, because they couldn't figure it out. It was a very frustrating thing because you know this is a talented defense, and you, by the end of the game, have figured out, okay, we know what we're doing. We know how to get our teeth into this. But for whatever reason, they couldn't do it in the first half. So hopefully that's not the same. Hopefully that changes this year, especially in a game like this where I do expect it to be low scoring. That's what this Carolina defense prides itself on, is playing everything over the top. The safeties play deep, you zone underneath, and they're funneling everything to the middle of the field, right? So you're going to have long drives. You're going to shorten the game because there's going to be fewer possessions, because every Saints offensive drive is going to have to be, I don't know, 8-10 plays, depending on where you start from. You got to kind of methodically march it downfield. So there's not going to be a ton of points. That's why the Panthers were top five in yardage. Well, one of the reasons the Panthers were top five in yardage allowed last year in terms of defense. So, you know, that's going to be a big part of it. You got to execute in this type of game.
Before we get into more of Saints talk, just want to give a shout-out to LSU in that Nichols game yesterday. I thought the Colonels came out with a lot of juice playing the Tigers. They did lose 44-21. But
they covered the spread.
I felt Coach Tim Rebo really had his team prepped really well going into Baton Rouge to play this LSU squad. And obviously at the end, you could tell the talent level was just far superior on the LSU Tigers side, which was expected, like you mentioned, with that 51-52-point spread going into the game.
I never trust big spreads.
No,
like that.
Exactly. But much respect to the Nichols football team and Coach Rebo for their showing against LSU.
No question. We should also mention Tulane. Tulane, you know, they probably should have won that game.
That was disgusting. I felt they got robbed on that call.
I'm a Mensa maniac. I'm a fan. I think he's going to be real good, really good. But now we're in NFL season. We props to LSU. Tulane, I think, is going to have a really strong year by the end of it. They got to win this week, Oklahoma State. But we're going to talk Saints today.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want the hate text to start coming in already on game day. I was like, why aren't you guys mentioning LSU?
I don't know, because we're sitting in the Superdome. This is what we're supposed to talk about. It's in front of us. We can see it.
But there was football local to last night, and obviously a big LSU audience tuning into as well. Going back now onto this Saints side of things, the Superdome, you know, being the host of the Super Bowl this year, obviously has a lot of folks excited too and anxious for a lot of fans who didn't come for preseason action. Going to be filing into this dome for the first time today. Get to see a whole lot of these upgrades. And, Jeff, that's one of the things I feel like, you know, I'm kind of jealous of. I've talked about not really getting to partake in that opening sense of feeling of what Champions Square is even like, but just walk around the dome and see the new amenities that are involved for all the people coming in.
Yeah, no, and you know, one thing I know Mike Haas had an interview with Ben Hales on WWL 2 weeks ago, last week,
yes,
to kind of preview what everyone needs to know. So anyone coming to the dome, if you haven't downloaded the app, the Saints app, that's going to help you out immensely. So if you're an app person, if you don't have a flip phone and you're going to the dome, you should have that, because it's going to have your instructions. It's going to have like the turn-by-turn directions to get to anything you want. It's like a GPS in there for navigating inside the building, which I think is going to be handy for a lot of people, because the entrances are different. Like, you got to go to the gate on your ticket. You got to make sure you enter the building the right way, because if you don't, a lot of times you're not going to be able to get to where you need to go to get to your seat. If you're used to going the same way every time, you got to make sure you have that right. So, no, there's a lot of fun stuff in here. Those 40-yard bars, when they say 40 yards, they're not kidding. Those things, you're walking by them for a long time. You know, it's very tempting.
You might
start walking by the bar not wanting a drink, but by the end of it, you're like, you know what? You've convinced me. You know, that's how long these bars are. So, now there's a lot of fun stuff in here.
I'm just waiting to see incoming TikTok videos this football season of fans doing their own 40-yard dashes. Who can get from one side of the bar to the end the fastest?
That sounds dangerous. I think
alcohol and 40-yard dashes?
From a liability perspective, I think we should make sure we're not endorsing that.
Looking at the Carolina Panthers coming to this matchup, We always talk about familiarity with football teams. Obviously, you know, you play them twice a year. A little bit different this time around, kind of, with Dave Canales taking over. A new head coach, but someone the Saints are familiar with scheme-wise. They saw him with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, no, the Saints, I'm sure they've been scouting two teams this week, right? And that's the frustrating thing, is trying to figure out, okay, what he does
with the Panthers personnel,
right? What are the Panthers going to do, and what has Dave Canales done? I'm sure they went back and looked at Seahawks games, too, from his time with Seattle working with Geno Smith.
Yeah.
The interesting thing to me about Dave, and I have the same kind of feelings about Sean Payton with Bo Nix. Everyone wants to talk about Sean Payton as a quarterback whisperer because of what he did with Drew Brees and, you know, the success he was able to have with backups like Teddy and whoever else you want to throw in there. But he's never dealt with a young quarterback, a young developmental quarterback. He's never sat through a rookie quarterback. Sean Payton hasn't. So how is he going to deal with that? Dave Canales is the same way. Everyone wants to look at Dave and say he's a quarterback whisperer. He's going to figure out Bryce Young. Whatever's wrong with Bryce, whatever happened last year that messed him up, he can fix it and he can get him where he needs to go. Well, you look at it's like and the examples of that are, okay, he did it with the Seahawks. And Geno Smith, well, he was a veteran quarterback. He was a reclamation project, not a development project, right? You're talking about Baker Mayfield, same thing.
Yeah.
He's a reclamation project. Bryce Young is a developmental project. So, and I think those are two different things, and we'll see how Sean handles it. We'll see how Dave handles it. But this idea that he's going to walk in there and suddenly figure out how to fix Bryce Young, I don't know. I think the idea that that's going to happen quickly is unlikely. And even you look at, you know, the Bucs last year, they went 9-8. That Seahawks team, I think they went 10-7. It's still an uphill battle, but I do like Dave Canales. I think he's a good head coach, and I think he will figure it out. But this is a game that you look at and you say, okay, even if the Panthers do turn it around this year, which I think they're going to be a lot better this year than they were last year. They're not a two-win team. No NFL team is a two-win team. Let's be real. I think that this game, the Saints should feel like, okay, we're still getting that kind of in the process Panthers team. They haven't figured it all out yet, whereas we are a defense that feels like we know what we're doing. This is an offense that, the Saints offense, that while, you know, is different in terms of scheme, is very static in terms of playmakers, in terms of the guys that are running the offense and are comfortable with each other. The Panthers can't say that. They've changed a ton. I think the numbers are 23 of their 53-man roster is different this year than it was last year.
That's crazy. Two games, right?
That's a full turnover. You know, when you're talking about key players, right, especially on defense with Brian Burns, some of these guys. So Frankie Louvu is not there anymore, and he was always a guy that really gave the Saints fits. So,
for sure, right.
No, I mean, I think I think the Panthers are going to be a much better team this year than they're getting credit for. I don't think they're going to be a much better team in this game than we're giving them credit for. I think the Saints need to take advantage of a young quarterback, a new system, and a team that's still figuring a lot of it out.
Yeah, we'll hear a little bit about some of the inside of the Panthers and their new regime with the Believe in Panthers podcast host Des Johnson. Have some cuts from him we'll play in the show. Also hear from Derek Carr, Saints quarterback, veteran defensive end Cam Jordan, tight end Juwan Johnson, and a cut about Trevor Penning from offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak. Hear what he had to say, because I know Penning, you know, unfortunately draws a lot of ire of Saints fans when talking about this offensive line. But Kubiak mentions, obviously, I don't want to spoil the entire cut, but it is a five-man job. The cohesion needs to be there with the entire group. It's not just Trevor Penning.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I said this a few times. You know, Trevor Penning has to be Taliese Fuaga's best friend right now. Just because, like, how much time have we actually spent talking about the fact that the Saints are going to have a rookie left tackle starting week one. That's it. I don't care who it is.
So glossed over.
I don't care if he's the number one pick in the draft. That's a stressful environment. That's difficult. You don't know how he's going to react his first game in the Superdome. You don't know how he's going to handle, you know, whatever they throw at him. You know, I'm sure they're going to throw stunts his way. They're going to try to confuse him. They're going to try to mess him up. And we've spent all offseason talking about, well, can Trevor Penning survive on the right side? You know, the real nightmare scenario isn't necessarily that you have to help Trevor. It's that you have to help both sides. It's that you don't feel comfortable leaving either tackle on an island. So the stress level for Trevor is whether he can do the job. The stress level for Taliese is whether he can be rock solid from day one. And that's a lot to ask. So, you know, we're going to see. You know, thankfully he's not having to figure out Brian Burns. I don't think, you know, like Jadeveon Clowney, while a very good pass rusher, is 31 years old and probably more of a situational guy at this point in his career. I don't think the Panthers really have that stud edge rusher that they have in the past. So hopefully the Saints can kind of take advantage of that with their scheme. This is going to be the first time we see them actually scheme up some protections, really, and help in ways that, you know, to kind of protect those guys a little bit, the offensive line. But it's also going to be interesting, and we're going to talk about this a good bit later, is how they handle Derrick Brown, because he's going to be a load on the inside. Like, in some matchups, you might be able to get away with a little less attention on the interior guys and help to the edges. I don't think that's going to be the case today. I think you're going to have to help on the interior, because Derrick Brown is the stud on this defensive line group.
And I think with Taliese Fuaga, too, I heard two different sides of the position switch coming for him. You know, he used to play right tackle in college for the majority, and now being switched to left tackle, some folks not making too big of a deal of the move. Some folks say, I don't understand what the team's doing. Why don't you just keep him at somewhere where he's comfortable as a rookie?
Yeah, and the best point I heard about it was like take a step back and ask yourself, if the Saints had a startable left tackle, a guy they had any faith in whatsoever starting at left tackle, would you have moved Taliese across the line? The answer is no. The answer is no, because you would have left him at his comfortable position at right tackle. So, I mean, I'm not super concerned about Tally. I think he's going to be fine. But you're talking about week one. You're talking about day one. Like, you don't have there's no opportunity to work him in slowly. You know, and that's tough. Like, you never want to be in that situation where you're relying so heavily on a rookie in his NFL debut, and that's where the Saints are. So we'll have to see.
Under construction is this Saints offensive line. I feel like we're going to get a lot of, I guess, questions answered today to see what exactly lies in store ahead, because I think it's going to be the major talking point throughout the season.
Yeah, the renovation of the Superdome is complete. The renovation of the offensive line might still have a few weeks to go.
I want to mention, too, to folks, obviously, with the Super Bowl being in town this year, there's still a lot of construction going around the city, especially to Poydras, other spots around the Superdome. We are not a early arriving crowd in these parts. But I would recommend you try to get out there a little earlier today, as you might experience some more traffic issues.
Yeah,
you might,
because
you might experience just some more traffic issues because of maybe some blockages or construction that's going on. Also, if you want to stop by and say hey to the Cajun Cannon when the countdown to kickoff takes over at 10 a.m., we are currently set up WWL's booth and the Loge level at Gate B Atrium. We're here in the Caesars Rewards Lounge right in front of the bar area. Nice little view of everything going on and kind of the dome off in the distance there. Can't wait to get into action for that noon kickoff today, coming up with Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas on the call with Jeff on the sideline. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into some of our Saints sound as this black and gold squad gets ready for the Carolina Panthers Week 1 NFC South matchup to start the regular season. Don't get much better than that, folks. Want to hear from you? 504-260-187 and the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Be right back after this on WWL Saints Radio.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into First Take. It's brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Reward destination. And what do you know, Jeff? We are in the Caesars Reward Lounge, the
sure are.
Atrium level of loge level, gay B atrium.
It smells what like wealth in here.
Yeah, yes. And I hear if you're in the atrium.
Yeah.
Sounds important.
It has to be a nice building if you have any area called the atrium. It has to be a pretty nice building.
Hopefully, very nice. Area will be this offense. Fresh new start with Clint Kubiak taking over. And I know, you know, all the talk of the preseason was you really didn't get to see a lot of what it's capable of just because things are kept very bland, very vanilla. You're not really unleashing this true potential of what you're going to see. And I think that's part of the excitement, obviously, going into this regular season. But you could say that, I think, for most teams, obviously, going into the regular deal is the fact that nobody's showing you much in preseason play.
Yeah, you're seeing, like, the first three pages of the playbook, right?
Just your
like,
base.
Like, very, very simple packages, very vanilla. You're not trying to, you know, especially this year, it seems like DA has been super, super interested in not giving away anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how inconsequential it seems. He's like, you'll find out on Sunday. It's like, okay, what injury is A.T. Perry dealing with? We're going to keep that to ourselves. Oh, where's Clint Kubiak going to call the game from? We'll tell you on Sunday.
I think it's because we were bragging about, you know what? Dennis has been so forthcoming with information. What a change from Sean Payton. He's like, wait a minute, I'm going to have to be more of a, you know, withhold things more from the media so they don't like me too much.
The tinfoil hat person in me wants to think like, hey, maybe it's because he doesn't want to tell us who the backup quarterback is, and to justify that, he's not telling us anything. Because we still don't know who the backup quarterback is. We'll find out today, because I imagine the other guy will be the emergency third quarterback, and you do have to declare a backup quarterback by NFL rules for headset purposes, right? So, like, you have to at least tell them. So you can't play games of, like, who the backup's going to be, or at least who the second string is going to be. But at this point, we don't know. We'll find out. You know, the inactives haven't come out yet. That's going to be interesting. We can talk about that in a little bit because they're going to have to make a couple decisions on guys who are inactive, and we don't know yet because it's the week one. But, no, there's still a lot of questions with what you're going to do, and that's by design.
It's kind of wild that the who the backup to Derek Carr is has turned into such a major storyline, like it's going to make that huge of a difference for this season.
Oh, it's not. It's not. I mean, it's a major storyline because people want anything to be excited about, and people are excited about Spencer Rattler, and I get it. I mean, I'm excited about Spencer Rattler. I think the team's excited about Spencer Rattler. But they also feel like they have a quality player in Jake Haener.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jake's over there with his hands up going, yeah. Hey, don't forget about me.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, they had no commitment to Jake. That's what people need to understand. He played himself into that level of commitment. This offense didn't draft him. If he went out there and didn't show it, they had no reason to be like, yeah, we're going to stick with him just to mess with the fans who are in the Rattler hive, right? You know, they bring their you know, their rattlesnake sound makers to the game today or something. I don't know. But no, I mean, there's in that, but that's the thing. When you have a guy like that that people are really excited about, it becomes a very pressure situation for the starting quarterback, especially a guy like Derek Carr who, you know, while I think that he probably got a bad rap last year in terms of how bad his season actually was, I think it was a lot better than people give him credit for.
Agreed.
There's not going to be a ton of leash in terms of the fans of like, hey, you come out and you struggle the way you did in the week 15 game, whatever, the second game of the year last year, where he had like 110 passing yards through the first three quarters. They ended up winning like 28-6. But it was a very close game later into that game than that final score would indicate. And so, you know, if you do that today, you might get boos. Like you might get Rattler chants if you don't come out and you know, perform at a high level, at the level that is expected of your starting quarterback. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that develops. Now, I don't think the team is going to make any decisions based on what this weird hive of people in the stands is yelling. But it's, you know, it could get uncomfortable real quick if things don't go a certain way.
We talked about, you know, right when we started this segment about how – the offense hasn't shown us much so far this preseason. And now week one is here, so we're going to see this full Clint Kubiak offense on display. Well, quarterback Derek Carr talked to the media this week, and he was asked, how anxious is he to show just what this offense is capable to do this year?
We're really excited as offense, but it comes out with a great challenge. You know, this is a defense that, really, well-coached team. Skilled players, talent everywhere, and so it's a tough task. But for us as an offense, we've been working really hard, and so of course we're excited to go out there and play live games and put the first one out there. Hopefully get a win, and then just keep building on that, and hopefully play good football. So there's been a lot of work that went in to make sure that hopefully we start fast. That's key to us, trying to keep the same mindset we had towards the end of the year last year, treating all these games like do or die, from the jump, and not waiting for a back against the wall type moment to have to do that. So that's the mindset. We're excited, but again, we got to go do it.
Carr touched on it there, obviously, talking about those faster starts, but they do want to, start this year kind of, carry over what they did towards the end of the season in 2023 where they were successful. Carr was also asked, how would he describe this year's team?
I know one thing is we're going to play extremely hard and play extremely fast on offense. Our defense looks fantastic. I told you all what I thought of them last year, coming here and practicing against them. And I think they're better this year. Now, we all have to go prove it, but they look amazing. They look ready to go. And there's just a mindset and a mentality that we're coming with right now that I recognized, from late in the year last year. Now, does that guarantee us a win? No. No, nothing guarantees you a win except putting the work in and then doing it on Sunday. But for us, we're excited to go show our brand of football and show what, potentially we can be this year.
Now, Jeff, nobody wants to hear it, obviously, when you're talking about, well, this is a third straight year of Derek having to learn a new offense.
His third straight year. This is like his seventh of the last 12 or 11. Like, he's learned like seven new offenses in his NFL career. It's
whatever.
Crazy.
Oh, you're an NFL player. This is, you're making millions of dollars. Boo-hoo, kind of thing.
No, I mean, he's got to do it. And, what you can say is he's had to do it before, so he has some experience of, like, how to do it, right? And he has talked about, this offseason in particular, what he's learned over, last year, the year before that, is how to install it in his brain a little faster than maybe it was a few years ago. And he talked about how every day at practice and training camp, he would go out with an assistant beforehand and essentially run the practice. So he was getting, however many, there were 18 or 28 practices, whatever, in California. He got double that because he was doing it in advance. And he feels like that's going to help him come out faster because he's learned over the years that, hey, I need the reps. I can sit in a classroom and talk it out all day long. I need to go out there and actually physically do it. And that's helped him. So hopefully that manifests, right? Because, again, like I said, there's not going to be a lot of grace given for, well, it's the first couple games in an offense. You got a slow start. No, you're not going to get that. And he knows that. Like, Derek's aware of that. Derek,
absolutely.
Derek's going to be a good sport about it. And I do give him credit for how he handled it. He hears the boos. When you're booing him, he hears it. These guys hear it. Like, if they're telling you they aren't aware of it, they're lying to you. They are aware of it.
Especially in today's day and time. It's just everywhere in front of you.
It's about how you handle it, and I think that he did handle it. I mean, go look at that Lions game. You think that's an easy situation to be getting booed when you run onto the field and having them cheer when Taysom Hill replaces you? No, but what did he do in that game? He came out and led a comeback. So, give him some credit for that. And, he's a guy that I think – from a mental perspective does operate at a pretty high level. Like, I think that's why you have him leading this offense. One thing that he talked about is that Clint's offense takes a little bit off his plate in the sense of you're talking about a lot more like pure progressions. Like, he's not going out there and necessarily having to start from scratch with every pre-snap read, every post-snap read. Like, there's a much more stringent idea of where the ball's supposed to go, and if it's not there, you check it down. Like, quick. Like, the decisions are going to be made a lot quicker in this offense because there's a lot less gray area of what's supposed to happen on a particular play, right? Like, either you get it to the fast guy down the field or you get it to the fast guy in the flat or out of the backfield. Like, it's a lot simpler. And you might say, well, why isn't that easier for the defense to defend? Because everything looks the same, right? That's the other element, is the first five steps of every play are going to look the same, whether it's play action, whether it's a run, whether it's a zone, wide zone to the right, whether it's a wide zone to the left, right? And what that makes important is the wide receivers need to be able to block. You need to be able to run the ball with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed on the field. Just because they're these slighter frame guys, you can't take them off the field every time you want to run because that becomes a tell.
Right.
That's what was happening last year. Every time you put Keith Kirkwood on the field, it was like, okay, this is a run play. Or Lynn Bowden, right? You can't do that. Now, Cedric Wilson's going to be a blocking wide receiver, but Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed need to be involved, need to be willing blockers. You don't have to be perfect. I do need you to be a traffic cone. I need you to create a situation where the defensive player cannot run in a straight line to the ball carrier. You know, it's not going to be perfect. You're smaller guys. You're not going to be in an advantage when you're blocking linebackers and defensive ends, right? But you need to get in there. You need to be a willing blocker. And if they can do that and create situations where the defense has to respect the run, even when both of those guys are on the field, this offense will have a much easier time operating out of the play action.
Derek Carr was asked about that 3 straight years now of having to learn a new offense. You kind of summed it up, Jeff, but how does Carr feel about it?
I feel more comfortable starting this time than I did any other time because I was able, through a lot of experience, how do I get ready faster? You know, how do I feel more comfortable faster? One big part of that was reps with my guys. I had a whole year of that under my belt, and so that helps. You know, when you're throwing similar routes, it's not brand new. You know, it doesn't take way too long to figure some things out. Now, there were some new things that there's some things and some routes that we were asked to throw and things like that that I haven't done before. So I had to get better. We had to get better at that. But for the most part, there was a lot of carryover there. And then I told y'all, like, every practice we had, I would go out before and run the practice myself, you know, with JT and Corey. And, like, we would run the practice. And so I would double up on the reps because it was really the – I can sit there and study. I can sit there and watch film all day long until I'm blue in the face. But it's you got to go do it. You know, you got to put your body through the motions. You got to do the footwork. You got to see the routes. You got to see the reads. And that's something that we did. Now I'm going to get, obviously, all these game reps coming up, the season starting and all that, and we're just going to keep getting better at it. But I feel like I'm really comfortable with where we're at going into the season. And I shouldn't say comfortable. I should say confident. I'm confident with where we're at. But now we just got to go do it.
Now we just got to go do it. I think another part of last year, too, Jeff, and I don't want to call it a poison pill, but, you know, Michael Thomas has proved, I think, that wasn't the greatest teammate to have around. When things went bad, ended up being more of a disruption, a distraction, instead of someone that would lift the guys around him up.
I mean, I'm not going to speak to what was going on in the locker room. I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what was being said, the conversations that were happening.
But I can speak to what was happening on Twitter.
But, you know, the way that all ended, you can kind of infer that it was not a comfortable scenario throughout the course of the season. And whether you agree with Mike or not, whether you feel like he was in the right, it was not helpful to a locker room.
Right.
You kind of, at a certain point, y'all have to be pulling the rope in the same direction, and when someone is not, it becomes clear and it becomes difficult to manage, and I think that did have an impact on this locker room throughout part of that season, and I don't think it's a coincidence that they were playing their best football at the end, and Mike wasn't there.
Right.
Right, so, you know, hopefully that is something that, you know, this locker room can be a little more tightly knit. I think that's part of the reason you go out to California.
That bond seems a lot stronger this season.
To get everyone in a room, you know, kind of a hold up in a hotel with nothing to do but to kind of hang out and you know, play cards and go to dinners. And, you know, I think people underestimate that how that impacts chemistry and how important chemistry can be to a team that is either, you know, in the middle of the pack and wins a lot of close games or is in the middle of the pack and loses a lot of close games, right? And that's, you know, like people always want to talk about, you want to talk about, okay, this team is bad, this team is good. In the NFL, the difference between the second best team and the second worst team is really razor thin. Like, it's really not that big of a gap, right? You're talking about a 9-8 team. If things go a certain way, they could have won 11, 12 games, right? Like, they were in games that they could have won. All the games that they could have swung that, they lost, right? Think of what close games that came down to the wire did the Saints win. They were either ahead and won the games that they were in control of, or they were in close games that they lost, or they were behind the whole time and they lost. They didn't win any close games, and that's the difference between winning double-digit games, hosting a playoff game, giving yourself a chance, versus having to sit there on week 18 and hope tiebreakers go your way. So, you know, I think chemistry is what this team is hoping can help swing things in a certain direction. And, you know, and here's the thing. Everyone's going to say the right things at this time of year. I don't think that hearing them talk about how great their locker room feels and the chemistry and everything really means anything, because that's the same things we were hearing this time last year, and it didn't go the way you would hoped. That said, I do think that they've kind of dialed things in a little more. And hopefully that does manifest. One thing that has happened this year that didn't really happen last year is they've been doing a lot of offensive team dinners. They've done at least two of them at Derek's house.
Okay.
Right? All the offensive players, or at least the majority of them, get together at Derek's house, and they hang out, and they kind of bond and whatever. And you might kind of roll your eyes at that and say, oh, yeah, okay, you know. But at the same time, like, I think that is something that they are conscious of, that they are working on. And hopefully that does manifest into more success.
Yeah, we've heard a lot from folks, too. It's like, you got to care about the guy next to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it matters.
That helps
it does
play
matter.
Harder for them.
It does.
Not just for yourself.
Yeah.
With the Saints, too, I think a big factor is to getting this, you know, Saints fan base really swayed back on their side is just, you know, hearing from guys like the leaders in this team, like a DeMario Davis, a Tyrann Mathieu, saying that Derek Carr is that guy. Head coach Dennis Allen is that guy, because there is so whatever doubt that seems to surround the quarterback and head coach of this team so much.
They're committed to both those guys, right? And, you know, whether the fan base is another question, but this team is committed to this team. Like, this idea that they're going to go out there without any confidence that they're going to win is completely an idea. In that locker room, the vibes are completely different from what you'll watch ESPN and they'll give you their power rankings. That doesn't matter to anyone in this building. And if anything, that's a scenario I want to be in. I want to be the coach
don't see him coming.
I want to be a coach that can go in there and say, no one believes in you but the people in this room, because that's the easiest pregame speech you'll ever be able to give. You know how much harder it is to motivate the team where it's like, everyone thinks you're the best. Go prove them right. You think that's really getting people going? No. So, you know, I think it's a lot easier for a team to really get motivated, get up for a season where they're not getting any, and no one's giving them a chance.
Want to hear from you in the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line as we get ready for a noon kickoff here in the Caesars Superdome. Also, the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff coming up at 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon joining us here at the Gate B Loge Level Atrium inside the Superdome. Give us your shout-out. What are you doing on game day? What are you expecting from this Saints squad? And we'll be back with more First Take right after the break here on WWL after this. Yes, indeed. Welcome into First Take. Want to mention Seaside Cruises, the New Orleans Saints partner with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. That's mingling with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. Make sure you check out Seaside Events for that Seaside Cruise from the Black and Gold. Getting into our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. And first up, our good buddy Jimmy. Jimmy, what you got for us today on this wonderful game day, man?
Hey, man, look, football's back. I'm dragging a little butt right now. Listen, I'm trying to pull off the rare triple play. All right, now follow me here. I went to the Tulane game yesterday at 11 a.m. against Kansas State. It was a great game. The referees in Las Vegas kind of, to me, kind of lost the game for Tulane, but we'll leave it at that. I then went up to Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Full of Wild Wings feeling, didn't it?
Yeah, it was weird, dude. I'll just leave it at that. You know, a couple missed calls at the PI at the end, they should have called a flag on, but whatever. Vegas has a big influence on these games. I hate to say it, but that's the reality. There's a lot of gambling on the line. But look, let me tell you, triple play in action here. Went to that game, drove up to Hattiesburg, saw SLU Lions from Hammond, Louisiana play my Southern Miss Golden Eagles. Southern Miss won, came home, and I'm going back to the Dome today. So three games in one weekend, about to get the coffee going. Yeah, I've never done three games in one weekend, so hopefully, you know, we're one for two. I'd hope Tulane would win, but I think the Saints are going to win today. Carolina always gives them a hard time. You know, tickets are still only like $15 right now on the secondary market, okay? And the only reason I say that is, you know, we have the golden era with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, and we know that when the Eagles come to town, that's going to be a big draw because the Eagles fans are coming, and we know the Sean Payton return game is going to be packed out because a lot of Saints fans want to be there just to either boo him or whatever they want to do. But I want to get your take on the fact that the price is so low. Does that mean, you know, obviously that means we're going to have a couple empty seats, but we always play Carolina tough, or namely they play us tough. And it's funny because I hear Saints fans say, you know, we're not that good, but Carolina is really bad. But I got to remind everybody that every player in the NFL is good, right? They were all Big Ten, all big whatever, SEC this, SEC that. Carolina always gives us a hard time. I think it's going to be really, really close. And again, if you're looking for a cheap ticket, this is about the cheapest ticket you'll see for an opening season, regular season home game I've seen in a long time. Almost, I feel like, since the Jim Haslett era, you know. So I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that there's a lot of, you know, cautious optimism going on right now. I think, you know, and the way I phrased it for this game, there's really no upside for the Saints in this game, and that's the dangerous part of this game, is that if you win it by 30, everyone's going to be like, great, congratulations, that's the free space in bingo, move on and see what you can do against
what
the Cowboys.
What you should have done, right.
Right. If you play a close game, everyone's going to be like, well, that's where the Saints are. They can't even beat a 2-win team easily. And then if you lose this game by any margin, it's going to be the sky's falling, change everything. You know, we're not going to wait till week 2. Everything needs to change right now, or at least, you know, I'm not saying the team will react that way, but the mood around the team will be that way. So now you got to go out and win this game. It's the closest thing to a must-win week 1 game I think I've ever seen. That said, I think looking at the Panthers and seeing a team that can't go out and win a game is false. Any NFL team can win a game any week. I don't know how many times we have to see it and explain that before people start to understand that's true. There's no such thing as an easy win in the NFL. The margin between the best and worst team is as close as it is in any sport. So we'll see. Again, like I mentioned, the Ejiro Evero, which I finally figured out how to say his name correctly.
That's impressive.
After a year, his defense prides itself on making you go the long way, making you execute long drives. And because of that, you're going to have low scoring games. Now, if you can create some turnovers, if you can generate some points on defense or on special teams, then you can start to win that, to go away in that game. Like, look at what happened in that second game last year. It was close. Then you had a couple turnovers. You created some havoc on the defensive side of the ball, and that allowed for some short possessions, a couple late touchdowns that really put that game out of reach. But that's what you got to do. You got to muck things up against this team, because they're going to force you to go underneath, execute, and their gamble is that you're not going to be able to do that enough times to take over a game.
Hope you folks out there are like Jimmy and headed to today's game. Want to see all the great Houdats out there stopping by. Team WWL set up thanks to Luke and Ashley at the Loge level. Gate B Atrium. First take goes till 10 a.m. That's when the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert takes over with the countdown to kickoff. Leading up to game time, high noon, with Jeff Nowak on the sideline along with Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister on the call of the game, the local call of the game. Make sure you turn down your TVs and turn up the sound of WWL Saints Radio. We'll be back with First Take right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We're battling the Panthers today in the Caesars Superdome. Week 1, Game 1. We are here till 10 a.m. Then the Cajun Cannon will take out over on the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Inside the dome, Loge Level Gate B Atrium. That's presented by Craig's Electrical Generator Service. Shout out to Craig, who will also be joining us,
Craig,
on that countdown to kickoff. And then high noon, game time. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, and my man right here, Jeff Nowak. You know the tradition, folks. I mentioned, turn down the TVs and listen to Deuce and Haas along with Jeff. Then after the game, you can sound off at the Cajun Cannon on the Ciroc Point after. We got 10 hours of wall-to-wall Saints football today that starts 8 a.m. already here on WWL Saints Radio, AMFM.com, and the free Odyssey app. We're kind of like the NFL Network of New Orleans, I feel like, for all black and gold fans. We are just here for you to give you constant coverage of the team that you love. And I say it all the time, and it's not just because I'm a part of it, Jeff. Why not tune into the local station? Because it's a team that's, you know, the guys that are constantly around this ball club and that know them best.
I always get a kick out of when I run into people I don't talk to every day, and they're like, I was mowing the lawn, and I heard you. I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. They don't even realize I'm on the sideline because I don't talk about it all the time. And they were just like, yeah. I was like, this guy sounds familiar. And I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway. But no, yeah, listen. And that's what you should do. Yeah. You're here now. Why aren't you here then?
For sure. One more hour of First Take coming up. We'll get into some more of our sound. Cam Jordan, Juwan Johnson, Clint Kubiak. Also, Believe in Panthers podcast host Des Johnson gives us a little inside on Carolina. Coming back with more First Take after the break here on WWL.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. Welcome into First Take. Want to mention Seaside Cruises, the New Orleans Saints partner with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. That's mingling with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. Make sure you check out Seaside Events for that Seaside Cruise from the Black and Gold. Getting into our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. And first up, our good buddy Jimmy. Jimmy, what you got for us today on this wonderful game day, man?
Hey, man, look, football's back. I'm dragging a little butt right now. Listen, I'm trying to pull off the rare triple play. All right, now follow me here. I went to the Tulane game yesterday at 11 a.m. against Kansas State. It was a great game. The referees in Las Vegas kind of, to me, kind of lost the game for Tulane, but we'll leave it at that. I then went up to Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Full of Wild Wings feeling, didn't it?
Yeah, it was weird, dude. I'll just leave it at that. You know, a couple missed calls at the PI at the end. They should have called a flag on, but whatever. Vegas has a big influence on these games. I hate to say it, but that's the reality. There's a lot of gambling on the line. But look, let me tell you, triple play in action here. Went to that game, drove up to Hattiesburg, saw SLU Lions from Hammond, Louisiana play my Southern Miss Golden Eagles. Southern Miss won. Came home, and I'm going back to the Dome today. So three games in one weekend. About to get the coffee going. Yeah, I've never done three games in one weekend, so hopefully, we're one for two. I had hoped Tulane would win, but I think the Saints are going to win today. Carolina always gives them a hard time. You know, tickets are still only like $15 right now on the secondary market, okay? And the only reason I say that is, you know, we have the golden era with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, and we know that when the Eagles come to town, that's going to be a big draw because the Eagles fans are coming, and we know the Sean Payton return game is going to be packed out because a lot of Saints fans want to be there just to either boo him or whatever they want to do. But I want to get your take on the fact that the price is so low. Does that mean, you know, obviously that means we're going to have a couple empty seats. But we always play Carolina tough, or namely they play us tough. And it's funny because you know, I hear Saints fans say, you know, we're not that good, but Carolina is really bad. But I got to remind everybody that every player in the NFL is good, right? They were all Big Ten, all big whatever, SEC this, SEC that. Carolina always gives us a hard time. I think it's going to be really, really close. And, again, if you're looking for a cheap ticket, this is about the cheapest ticket you'll see for an opening season, regular season home game I've seen in a long time. Almost, I feel like, since the Jim Haslett era, you know. So I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think there's a lot of, you know, cautious optimism going on right now. I think, the way I phrased it for this game, there's really no upside for the Saints in this game. And that's the dangerous part of this game is that if you win it by 30, everyone's going to be like, great, congratulations. That's the free space in bingo. Move on and see what you can do against
the
Cowboys.
What you should have done, right.
Right. If you play a close game, everyone's going to be like, well, that's where the Saints are. They can't even – they can't even beat a two-win team easily. And then if you lose this game by any margin, it's going to be the sky's falling, change everything. You know, we're not going to wait till week two. Everything needs to change right now, or at least, you know, I'm not saying the team will react that way, but the mood around the team will be that way. So now you got to go out and win this game. It's the closest thing to a must-win week one game I think I've ever seen. That said, I think looking at the Panthers and seeing a team that can't go out and win a game is false. Any NFL team can win a game any week. I don't know how many times we have to see it and explain that before people start to understand that's true. There's no such thing as an easy win in the NFL. The margin between the best and worst team is as close as it is in any sport. So we'll see. Again, like I mentioned, the Ejiro Evero, which I finally figured out how to say his name correctly.
That's impressive.
After a year. His defense prides itself on making you go the long way, making you execute long drives. And because of that, you're going to have low-scoring games. Now, if you can create some turnovers, if you can generate some points on defense or on special teams, then you can start to win that, to go away in that game. Like, look at what happened in that second game last year. It was close. Then you had a couple turnovers. You created some havoc on the defensive side of the ball, and that allowed for some short possessions, a couple late touchdowns that really put that game out of reach. But that's what you got to do. You got to muck things up against this team, because they're going to force you to go underneath, execute, and their gamble is that you're not going to be able to do that enough times to take over a game.
Hope you folks out there are like Jimmy and headed to today's game. Want to see all the great Houdats out there stopping by. Team WWL set up thanks to Luke and Ashley at the Loge level. Gate B Atrium. First take goes till 10 a.m. That's when the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert takes over with the countdown to kickoff. Leading up to game time, high noon with Jeff Nowak on the sideline along with Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister on the call of the game, the local call of the game. Make sure you turn down your TVs and turn up the sound of WWL Saints Radio. We'll be back with First Take right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We're battling the Panthers today in the Caesars Superdome, week one, game one. We are here till 10 a.m. Then the Cajun Cannon will take out over on the Bud Light countdown to kickoff inside the dome, Loge level, Gate B Atrium. That's presented by Craig's Electrical Generator Service. Shout out to Craig, who will also be joining us,
Craig,
on that countdown, the kickoff, and then high noon, game time. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, and my man right here, Jeff Nowak. You know the tradition, folks. I mentioned, turn down the TVs and listen to Deuce and Haas along with Jeff. Then after the game, you can sound off with the Cajun Cannon on the Ciroc Point after. We got 10 hours of wall-to-wall Saints football today that starts 8 a.m. already here on WWL Saints Radio, AMFM.com, and the free Odyssey app. We're kind of like the NFL Network of New Orleans, I feel like, for all black and gold fans. We are just here for you to give you constant coverage of the team that you love. And I say it all the time, and it's not just because I'm a part of it, Jeff. Why not tune into the local station? Because it's a team that's, you know, the guys that are constantly around this ball club and that know them best.
I always get a kick out of when I run into people I don't talk to every day, and they're like, I was mowing the lawn, and I heard you. I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. They don't even realize I'm on the sideline because I don't talk about it all the time. And they were just like, yeah. I was like, this guy sounds familiar. And I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway. But no, yeah, listen. And that's what you should do. Yeah. You're here now. Why aren't you here then?
For sure. One more hour of First Take coming up. We'll get into some more of our sound. Cam Jordan, Juwan Johnson, Clint Kubiak. Also, Believe in Panthers podcast host Des Johnson gives us a little inside on Carolina. Coming back with more First Take after the break here on WWL. We're battling the Panthers today in the Caesars Superdome. Week one, game one. We are here till 10 a.m. Then the Cajun Cannon will take out over on the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Inside the dome, Loge level, Gate B Atrium. That's presented by Craig's Electrical Generator Service. Shout out to Craig, who will also be joining us,
Craig,
on that countdown, the kickoff, and then high noon, game time. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, and my man right here, Jeff Nowak. You know the tradition, folks. I mentioned, turn down the TVs and listen to Deuce and Haas along with Jeff. Then after the game, you can sound off with the Cajun Cannon on the Ciroc Point after. We got 10 hours of wall-to-wall Saints football today that starts 8 a.m. already here on WWL Saints Radio, AMFM.com, and the free Odyssey app. We're kind of like the NFL Network of New Orleans, I feel like, for all black and gold fans. We are just here for you to give you constant coverage of the team that you love. And I say it all the time, and it's not just because I'm a part of it, Jeff. Why not tune into the local station? Because it's a team that's, you know, the guys that are constantly around this ball club and that know them best.
I always get a kick out of when I run into people I don't talk to every day, and they're like, hey, I was mowing the lawn, and I heard you. I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. They don't even realize I'm on the sideline because I don't talk about it all the time. And they were just like, yeah. I was like, this guy sounds familiar. And I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway. But no, yeah, listen. And that's what you should do. Yeah. You're here now. Why aren't you here then?
For sure. One more hour. First Take coming up. We'll get into some more of our sound. Cam Jordan, Juwan Johnson, Clint Kubiak. Also, Believe in Panthers podcast host Des Johnson gives us a little inside on Carolina. Coming back with more First Take after the break here on WWL.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.